right, brethren, Joshua chapter 20. The Lord provided these cities of refuge there in Canaan. And this was one of the first things the Lord did once the fighting had stopped, is he provided these cities of refuge. And he said, if a man committed manslaughter, killed someone unintentionally, God provided this city where he could flee. It was for the one who committed manslaughter. He killed someone unwittingly, unintentionally. He didn't have hate in his heart. It wasn't premeditated. But it was also for the near of kin to that one that was murdered. That's the avenger of blood, that near of kin. And the Lord said their heart would be hot within them, and they would be pursuing after that one who did the slaying. And this was to keep them from committing sin as well, this city of refuge. Because the one who had committed manslaughter could flee into the city of refuge, and he'd be safe. He'd be safe. He would come to the gate. He would present his cause to the elders at the gate, and they would bring him in. And he would stay there until judgment day. He would stay there until the priest, the high priest, died. And they wouldn't deliver him to the avenger of blood. And then once his case was heard, once he was judged, and once the high priest had died, he could return to his own city, to his own house. The cities of refuge are a picture of our one refuge, the Lord Jesus. He's our city of refuge. Our city of refuge is Christ. All these Old Testament scriptures bear witness of Christ in shadow and type. Our Lord said that. He said, told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me. That means these scriptures all testify of him. And he was speaking of these Old Testament scriptures. On those two on the road to Emmaus, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, beginning at Moses and all through the prophets, the things concerning himself. And he opened their understanding and made them hear and understand and believe on it. That's my prayer tonight, that the Lord would be the teacher, that the Lord would expound the scriptures to us and open our understanding and make us see Christ like never before, all new, like it's the first time we ever beheld him. That's my prayer. Well, a refuge is a place where one may flee into for safety and security. And without a doubt, that's who Christ is. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge. That's who Christ is. He's our eternal God. He's your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He's holding his people, carrying his people. He's bringing us into the refuge. And the city of refuge was a place you could flee in hope. You had some hope going to that city. So you're going to be saved. You're going to be safe. Scriptures speak of believers who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Our hope, where's our hope? Well, it's sure and steadfast. Our hope enters into the veil. That's where the forerunner has entered. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's entered. That's where he's seated. That's where we flee. We flee to him, and our hope enters in where he is, and our hope is him. Our hope is him. He's the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're going to see here the high priest died. Christ is our high priest who ever lives. Now, first of all, it's God the Father who provided his Son to be the city of refuge. God the Father gave his Son to be the city of refuge. It says there in verse 1, the Lord. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. The Lord had already spoken of this when they were in the wilderness. But now he does it again. But the Lord spoke to Joshua beforehand. He spoke to him concerning these cities of refuge before there was a manslayer. Before anybody needed the city of refuge, he declared to Joshua, You set up these cities of refuge. You're going to need them. That's what he's telling them. Set them up. And that's the case in eternity. God the Father chose his Son and appointed him to be the city of refuge for his people. God said, Appoint out for you cities of refuge. And God the Father appointed his Son to be our refuge. Hebrews 1:2 says, He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, heir of all things. It says, And he was faithful to him that appointed him. He's the appointed one. He's the appointed city of refuge, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth. God set him forth. Just like God appointed these cities, God set Christ forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Before one had committed manslaughter, God provided the city of refuge. And so before Adam fell, and before all fell in Adam, God had already provided Christ our Redeemer, our city of refuge. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and made manifest to you, who by him do believe in the Lord. This means that God knew Adam would fall, and God had ordered, he had appointed a Savior before Adam fell. He had purposed to glorify his name and the salvation of his people in Christ before as yet sin ever entered. He entered covenant with our Redeemer, our Lord Jesus, and Christ entered covenant with the Father. And that's why the scripture says in Revelation 13:8, He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He would answer for all the sins of all his people and make us righteous and satisfy God for the sins of his people. Now here's the purpose. This is the purpose of the city of refuge in verse 3. It says that Joshua 20, verse 3, says that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be, these cities shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Now the sin is what we call manslaughter. Manslaughter. It's not premeditated murder. The Lord said plainly that a murderer has to die for his sin. That's what God said. But though it was unintentional, a person had been killed. Somebody's loved one had been killed. Though it was unintentional, though there was not premeditation, though there was no hate in the heart, somebody's loved one had been slain. A person, a living person made in the image of God had been killed. Life's been taken. Somebody's accountable. And the avenger, his heart is hot. This is his loved one. And so the slayer must have a place he can flee for refuge. Got to have a place he can flee for refuge. All the children of Adam are sinners. All fell in Adam, all are sinners. And we urge those that have never believed on Christ to flee into this city of refuge. It's the only place you can find refuge. Flee into Christ. He's the only one that can save us from our sins. But the picture here is for believers. At this point, Israel's been delivered out of bondage. Israel's been delivered through the wilderness. They've been carried across the Jordan, and they've been delivered into Canaan. And the picture here is for believers, believers who sin. Now, every believer born of God hates our sin, and that's just so. As believers, you don't want to sin. You're not sinning with a high hand. You're not just saying, I'm going to sin and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. And that's not the heart that God gives his child. You see what Christ had to pay to put your sin away, and you don't want to sin. And your desire and your effort is to honor him, to serve his people, to honor him in everything you do. But our sin nature is only sin. And that's just so. Look back over there at Romans 7. I want to point out something here in Romans 7. Verse 18 says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in that nature I got from my father Adam, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me in the new man, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now that means what it says. When Christ said there is none good, no, not one, and he told that rich young ruler there's none good but God, that's what he meant. That's exactly what he meant. How to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not. Wouldn't you do good and never sin? That's what every believer desires. But the sin, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, a standing law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. By God's grace, that's so. If we're born of God, that's so. But I see another law in my members, in my sin nature, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We're learning about him in our text. The ones that's going to deliver us from this body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the new man created of God, I serve God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now somebody might say, well, Paul's only speaking of sins in our fleshly heart. Okay, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, your body's fine, you only have a heart disease. You're going to think, well, that's not that big a deal. Your body's fine. You're in good health. Your muscles look good. But your heart might stop pumping at any minute. You say that's a serious problem. When Paul says, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin, it means everything we think, everything we do, flows through the law of sin. It flows through our sin nature. So sin is mixed with everything we do. What does that do to a child of God? It humbles you. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. You take this avenger. This refuge is for him too. This city of refuge. So when that person, his heart's hot against him. You just imagine somebody killed your loved one. It's not going to much matter to you in the moment whether they did it accidentally or premeditated. And not a very good chance they're going to be able to explain to you that person that did it, that knew they didn't have malice in their heart, their heart's breaking over it. But you're going to be hard-pressed to convince it of that one who's offended. So this city of refuge is as much for that avenger as it is for the one who's done the manslaughter to keep them from sinning. And you see, when you see Christ and you see that he had to come and lay down his life for you, if you hadn't committed any sin outwardly, which that's not so, but if you had never committed any sin outwardly, you were conceived in sin and your sins in your nature And it's what you are. And Christ would have had to die for you the same. And when you see that and you understand that, that's going to cool that hot heart and break it and humble you down in the dust. So that, you remember when James said, he spoke about the patience of Job. And everybody knows what Job suffered. He was sick, he was covered in boils, everything had been taken from him. Well, then he said, you remember the patience of Job. He waited on the Lord, and his latter end was better than the beginning. And then James says, when your brother is sick, you anoint him with oil, you pray for him, and you confess your faults one to another. What does that mean? It means don't treat them like Job's friends treated Job. Don't act like you don't have sin. Don't act like you're not without sin. And if you see what a vile, wretched maggot you are in yourself, in your flesh, that will cool the hot heart. That will break it. And that'll make us say, Lord, thank you for this city of refuge. Our text shows that sin is sin. Though it may be committed unwittingly, it may be that we don't even realize we have sinned. And there's plenty that is not that way. But if when you were an enemy of our Lord and just hated him and was sinning as wittingly and as cunningly and as craftily as you could, and yet he laid down his life for his people, doesn't that break your heart? Doesn't that make you see, if he did that for me when I was that much of an enemy, and I see this city of refuge who is there for me, that's going to break my heart. That's going to break your heart so that you're not going to take vengeance. So it's as much for the avenger as it is for the one who's offended. The avenger of blood, first of all, represents the offended law of God. God and his offended law. Sin is sin. And the wages of sin's death. Somebody's died. Sin's been committed. Death's the wage earned. Now this is so in anything that you and I do. But God's provided the refuge, and he's provided a refuge for you for even when you don't even know you've sinned, and you unwittingly sin, and you didn't do it with premeditation and malice in your heart. The avenger also represents that near of kin, that one that's offended, that one that's hurt. So the city of refuge was provided to keep him from sinning more. You can find it in Deuteronomy 19:6. Lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot. The need of us all, every one of us, is to flee to Christ, our refuge, continually. The message is the same for the believer as for every other sinner, for the offender and the one offended. Flee to Christ, our refuge. That's our gospel. Christ, our refuge, is near. He's near. And it doesn't matter where you are, what your problem is. He's near. There were six cities. They were situated, so they were near no matter where you were in Israel. The city was near. There were signs that pointed to the city. And they kept those signs pointed there. And they kept the way cleaned out so you could get there. That's what God's messenger is supposed to do. He's supposed to be pointing you to Christ, to Christ. This is the way. Go to him. Flee to him. And that's what we as brethren are to do to one another. This is Christ. Flee to him. Go to him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Wherever they were, there were six of them, and wherever they were, there was a city of refuge somewhere near. And the scripture says, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present help. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. No matter where you are, no matter what you need, Christ is near. Flee to Christ the refuge. He's the only refuge. And in the names of this city, we see who Christ is, and we see how he's the refuge for those that flee to him. Look down there at verse 7. Kadesh means holy. There's one that's holy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Holy One. That's what the scripture calls him. He's our sanctifier. He's our sanctification. He's the one that separates us into him and keeps us separated into him. If we're going to enter the city of refuge, it's going to be because he brought us into the city of refuge. Such a high priest became us. Why did it become us to have such a high priest who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens? Because we are the sinners. Shechem, verse 7, means the shoulder. The government's on his shoulder. The government of his church is on his shoulder. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulder. He willingly took the sin of his people and willingly bore on his shoulder all the justice and judgment that God demanded of his people. He bore it all on his shoulder and satisfied God and purged our sins and made us the righteousness of God in him. And he finds his child wherever they are, and he puts us on his shoulder and brings us into this city of refuge. He's not only the city of refuge, he's the way into the city of refuge. He's the one that's drawn us to the city of refuge, carried us on his shoulder to the city of refuge. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. On his shoulder. Hebron, verse 7, means fellowship. We don't have any fellowship with God the Father, holy God the Father, but in one. There's only one in whom we have communion with the Father. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Bezer, verse 8, means a fortified place. He's the fortified place. You believe on Christ. You flee into Christ. You trust Christ. The only way to get into Christ, flee into Christ, by his grace, by him giving you life and faith, you believe on him. That's how you get into this city. You trust him. You pour out your heart to him. He will be a fortified place for you. He'll protect you. He'll protect you from the avenger of blood. He will. This is what the scripture says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. He said in Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Ramoth, verse 8, means exalted. God hath highly exalted him. He exalted God. He highly exalted God. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name. It's his name to whom every knee's going to bow. It's his name every tongue's going to confess. Golan, verse 8, means revealed or manifested. It's by God revealing Christ to us that we behold the righteousness of God. It's a person, and he is that righteousness. In Christ, the righteousness of God, we behold how that God is just to justify his people. And it's because he revealed Christ to us. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son unto me. He keeps revealing him to you. He keeps shining the light to you. He keeps making you come to yourself and see. You need him. You need him. But the slayer, he left all. And he fled to the city of refuge, and he had to stay in that city. Now get this picture. Scripture, our Lord said we have to lose our life. When he went to this city, he left his life. He left his house. He left his His loved ones, he left everybody and he fled into this city. And we have to lose our life and we have to flee into Christ where we are to abide all our days. Now get the picture here. He comes to the gate. The gate is the place of judgment. It comes to the gate. And when you come to Christ, you come into the gate. And he came to the elders of the city, and they took him. He laid his case out before them, told them he had a need. He couldn't be saved if he didn't enter that city. And they received him into that city and gave him a place where he could dwell, and they kept him safe in that city. Verse 5 says, if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. We flee to Christ. We lay our cause before him. This happens the very first hour. This happens in every time of need. You flee to Christ. You lay your cause out unto him. He receives all who come to him seeking mercy. He gives you a place to dwell in him. And he shall not deliver you to the slayer. He's answered to the slayer. And the slayer, or the avenger, I mean, the avenger, he won't deliver you to the avenger of blood. He satisfied justice. He's answered the vengeance of God. And he won't deliver his child to the avenger of blood. The slayer, though, was to remain in that city until the day his case was judged. You that's fled into Christ, you're in Christ now. You trust him. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by Christ. He's our judge. He's our righteousness. He's our advocate with the Father. He's going to judge. Our day of judgment's coming. When he's going to declare the case and declare he's the righteousness of his people. He's going to declare that before all. But for every elect child of God, justice was satisfied at Calvary. He satisfied it. He's robed you in his righteousness. And we're in him now by faith. And in that last day, that righteous judge is going to declare before all, he's our righteousness. No matter what anybody can say, this is the good news. There's no charge that's going to stick before God for his people. Because Christ has answered to judgment. And here's something else. Now get this. And the slayer, the man, one that committed the manslaughter, he stayed in the city of refuge until the high priest, who was the high priest for that day, till he died. What? Why was that? That was for the avenger too. Why? Matthew Henry hit the nail on the head. He said the high priest was to be looked upon as so great a blessing to his country that when he died, their sorrow upon that occasion should swallow up all other resentments. This was for the avenger whose heart was hot toward the offender. When you're offended and your heart is hot toward the offender, when you see the death of Christ your high priest bearing in his body on the tree what you deserve, that swallows up resentment. That swallows up resentment. You could just be so sure that one that slew your... You just imagine now, that one that committed manslaughter, they did it on purpose. I know they did it on purpose. I'm going to get them. I'm going to slay them. And when you behold Christ your high priest who laid down his life in your stead, and you were guilty just flat out, And you know it right now, today, where you sit, if it wasn't for him. That's going to swallow up that desire for vengeance and melt your heart and break your heart. This was as much for the one who did, for the manslayer, as it, as much for the avenger as it was for the manslayer. It was for both of them, this city of refuge. Isn't Christ a city of refuge for us in every situation? It doesn't matter if you're the offender or you're the one that's been offended. Christ is the refuge. Flee into Christ. He's going to cool the heart so that we're going to stop our pursuit when we see him bear what we deserve. And then, in that day when he stays in that city, we stay in Christ. We don't leave Christ. We can't go outside of Christ. He's our refuge. We have to stay in Christ. Trust him. Just like they were to stay in that city till the day their case was judged and till the day the high priest died. Then they could go to their city. Then they could return to the city from which they fled. They could go back to their own house. Stay in Christ. You stay in Christ. You believe on Christ. You trust Christ. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what the trouble is, no matter, stay in Christ. Believe on Christ. Lay your cause out before Christ. Confess all your sin and need to Christ. And lay out your cause before him. And stay in him. Stay in him. And in that day of judgment, When he makes it manifest that he worked every work for you and in you, and he is your righteousness and your strength, and the only reason you stayed in the city of refuge was by his grace. And he makes all to know he's your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and your redemption. And he makes the whole world see he's the high priest who died, who laid down his life, so that ever, I'm telling you, in that last day, it's not going to be that sinners are going to have to be forced to bow. Oh no. You didn't have to be forced to bow when you saw him. You hit your knee willingly and confess with a broken heart. It'll be too late for those that didn't flee into the city of refuge then, but that's what I'm saying is, you're going to see him and you're going to know he's that high priest, that faithful high priest who laid down his life for his people. And then in that day, you're going to return to the city from which you fled. We're going to go into our heavenly city from which we fled when we sinned in Adam, and when we were conceived in sin, and when we went from our mother's womb speaking lies, and every time we sinned, well, that's where we were fleeing from. But we're returning, and that's the city we're entering into. And that's our house. We're going to enter into our house, reserved in heaven for you by our Lord. Christ is the refuge for sinners. There's one way to flee into this refuge. That's by faith. Go to him. Go to the gate of heaven. Go to him and pour out your case before him. Lay out your cause before him and pray to him to save you. And all who have fled to him for refuge, this is what we say. Listen to Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. That means I don't have any. It means you don't have any. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now here's what we say. This is what I'm trying to say. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's the truth. All right, Brother Greg.